download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we return. And we want to thank Michael Jones, who will be, I think it's going to be an exciting segment to have. He's going to be back on May 12th. We'll speak with him. Actually, we're booked right up until May 12th. Do you know that, Joe?
I know that now.
You know that now.
I do.
I'm glad you follow along as to what we're doing here on the show. Do you know who's going to be on next?
I do know who's going to be on next. That I do know.
Do you know what he's going to talk about?
I do know what he's going to talk about.
All right. Well, why don't you introduce the next guest?
All right. Next on Monday Night Talk, we have Dave Wedge, who is the author of the Boston Marathon bombing book that he and Casey Sherman are writing together. Dave, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, guys?
How did he do? If you would give him a grade, Dave, what would you give him for a grade for introing you?
On the intro?
Yeah.
Give him a B.
Yeah, see, I would have been like, okay. Dynamite Dave Wedge. You're going to... Dave, listen.
I thought we had an intro at one time for
him. Yeah, but hold on now.
I used to have theme music. I don't know what happened
to
it. But...
Well, you no longer are with that organization. We're going to have to do a little bit of a voiceover.
That's true. We'll have to update it, I guess.
Unless you want to be polls and politics with the Boston Herald's Dave Wedge again. I can have Larry dust it off and play it right now.
No, that's my path.
Yeah, you're a well-traveled guy. I mean, you're on the talk circuit now. You're appearing everywhere.
Yeah, it's been busy. Well, this book is, it's an important book that I'm working on. I'm excited about it, and, there's a lot of anticipation for it, I think, out there. And, there are some other books that are out now that are really good. Jeff Bauman's got a book out, and the Norden brothers and The Globe, of course, put out their book. But ours is a bit of a different take, and, I think there's a lot of excitement out there about it because people know myself, and they know Casey Sherman, so they know we'll do a good job.
I got to ask you isn't Casey a BU guy?
He is. Yes, he is.
And you're a BC guy.
That is true.
So how often do you find yourselves talking hockey? I mean, is it...
He's not a big hockey guy, so we don't... And frankly, we're all business, Casey and I.
Right.
We're in crunch time here with the book. We've got a May 31st deadline to get in the first draft.
Right.
And,
tweak it.
The plan is to get it out by November.
What has it been like? I mean, where do you stand right now in compiling the first draft and getting it ready? I mean, where do you stand? I would think you're at least halfway through this at this moment, right?
Oh yeah, more than that. I mean, we're almost done with it. We're just kind of going over some. I'd say we're 90 to 95% done with it. We're going to finish up the story now, and the whole purpose here of us holding our story, it was twofold. One, we didn't want our book to come out right at the anniversary when, there's sort of an overload of material to think about and consume during this time. And also, we wanted to tell a more complete story right through the anniversary. So, we'll both be out there tomorrow and also on Marathon Monday, doing some last interviews and gathering some last final yarn to finish up our story. And then the plan is to get it out in the fall.
I have to ask you, I mean, here we are sitting on the eve of probably one of the most horrific stories to hit, the Boston area. We look back in December, September 2011, 2001, when we as a country were first kind of realizing that we could be harmed on our own soil, and then to have this come closer to home, to have a situation like this happen a year ago tomorrow. I mean, and you yourself as a reporter, you were right there when all this was happening.
Well, as you know, Kevin, I was down at the aftermath of September 11th as well.
Yep.
I got sent down there that morning right after the first plane hit. We knew obviously the plane left from Boston, and by the time I got down there, it was shortly after the collapses, and I spent a couple of weeks there. So, unfortunately, I'm pretty, at this point now in my life, I'm pretty seasoned with dealing with this sort of major terrorist event. I never thought that we would experience it in our lifetime, and certainly not twice. Certainly, you know, what happened at the marathon is a completely different situation than what happened on September 11th. But you know, in a lot of ways, they're equally horrifying. You know, the numbers in Boston weren't as large as what happened in New York, but it certainly incited the same level of fear and terror, and that's what these terrorists are all about. They're all about scaring us in our homes, and that's why, you know, it's going to be nice to see tomorrow. Hopefully, you know, a lot of people will be there, and hopefully there'll be a massive crowd on Monday, and I'm sure there will be.
Dave, you know, from the times that we've talked to you since the events and up till now, it certainly sounds like you've traveled and kind of had quite a story of events and whatnot that you've participated in or been part of to help aid in the writing of the book and some of the interviews you've done.
Don't forget the big Esquire piece that he and Casey did as well.
Exactly. What are, you know, kind of recap quickly some of those things that you've done in the last year that really have helped you develop this kind of closer relationship with both the events that happened and the people that were involved?
Well, you know, a lot of your listeners probably wonder, you know, why would a guy leave the Boston Herald? You know, it seems like a pretty good place for a journalist, but for me, it was the book, you know, and this book demanded my full attention, and that's why, you know, that's one of the primary reasons why I left the Herald in November. Not the only reason, but it was a big factor. It was an opportunity for me to leave and just focus on just the book. So since November, I've really just been working on the book full time and just trying to finish it up. And, you know, I spent a lot of time with the survivors, as you mentioned, and the biggest thing was we took a trip to France in December with, it was 100 folks that were either survivors or the relatives of survivors. And there was, you know, probably about 50 actual survivors on the ship. And it was Casey and I were on the ship, and we documented it for Esquire. And if people want to go on my Facebook page, or if they can just Google my name, you know, Dave Wedge and Esquire and France, they'll find the story. And Kevin, maybe you can post it on the ATD page.
Sure.
People can read it. And you know, we just got some really incredible access to these folks in a very relaxed setting where we got to spend a lot of time with them and hear their stories. And it was a privilege and an honor to be able to do it. You know, we documented some of it for the Esquire piece, and there'll be more of it in the book.
We had Casey Sherman in here, I want to say maybe like 5 or 6 weeks ago, talking about that, and also I think we talked about another book that Casey had released as well. But he had talked about that exclusively, and how to kind of be there as some of the, you know, the family members, you know, realized, you know, that they had a lot in common, you know, with each other in certain aspects.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, and you can see it in the piece, and again, there'll be more of it in the book, is you know, that first night, you know, people were just kind of feeling each other out, and no one knew what was okay to talk about and what wasn't, but it quickly became a comfortable situation where a lot of people would, you know, swap stories, and, you know, what we saw was a lot of people would realize that the person they were talking to maybe was right next to them when these bombs went off, and they never met the person before, and there was a lot of, like, looking, you know, they would look at pictures and say, so that's me. And the person would take the camera and say, all right, yeah, that's me. And they'd be in the same frame. There was some where even, you know, there was some of them that were in the same frame as one of the bombers just seconds before the bombs went off. And it's really eerie, and I think it was a really incredible experience for these folks to be around so many people that they had a shared experience with. And I think it was helpful to them to have that.
What are you expecting? I mean, next week next Monday is going to be a big day in the Boston area. And it's also going to be, I think it's going to be kind of tense at first, because this is going to be, you know, the first marathon after this horrific incident. Where are you going to be, and what are you expecting?
Well, I think just to back up, I mean, the first step is to get through tomorrow. You know, tomorrow really is, in my opinion, is the day to reflect and remember those we lost and, you know, think about the survivors and really think about what happened and reflect, you know, we're a year later, where are we?
Sure.
What have we learned and, you know, how can we move forward? And then I really think Monday is going to be about that moving forward physically. You know, it's obviously the people that were injured and the people that were lost, no one's ever going to forget them. And, you know, we understand, you know, their process of recovery is going to be slow, and no one's saying we're all moving on and putting that behind us.
Mm.
We'll never put what happened behind us. But we are going to move forward, and we're not going to stay in that moment of terror forever. We're going to move forward. We're going to be stronger. And, you know, I saw it with New York City. And New York City was a very different city before September 11th and after September 11th. If you go down there now, it's as vibrant and bustling and as intense a place as it ever was. And I think Boston's the same. I think Boston is going to become a better city and a stronger city because of what happened and the way that we bonded together and realized how sacred this city that we have is. And I think we're more protective of each other, and that's really what it's all about.
What are your plans for tomorrow? I'm sure do you have a busy schedule tomorrow?
Yeah, I do. I'm almost at the point where I need an assistant, Kevin.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. But I do have. I'm doing a lot of media tomorrow. I'll be on Channel 5 in the morning doing a little something with a couple of the survivors.
Mm.
And then I will be on Fox 25 as a special correspondent for much of the afternoon during the actual ceremony, from like 10 to 3. And then I'll be doing a little thing on CNN after around 3:30. So
wow.
Busy day.
Let me ask you, as a media person, you know, how delicate of an issue is this whole circumstances? As we know, we heard about what happened in regards to Meet the Press with Dick Gregory and one of the survivors kind of making a request, and that request being, I guess, not honored in regards to not mentioning the individual who was being accused of having something to do with this situation. Give me your thoughts on how sensitive of an issue this is, that when you go to talk about this, you use care.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, I mean, you know, everyone grieves at a different pace, and everyone has their own opinions. You know, when we were on the ship, while we were out there, it was shortly after the Rolling Stone cover came out, and it was while we were out there that Globe story came out, the fall of the House of Tsarnaev, which, in my opinion, was a disgrace. I mean, that story was really... it was way too heavily weighted on you know, what sort of problems these kids might have had. I don't think we learned a lot about them in those stories. I think the Globe did a great job on their coverage. They won a Pulitzer today, deserved it. But that piece was not the reason why, in my opinion. I they're acting like it was this great, brave piece. And I think it was too heavily focused on it almost seemed like they were trying to explain what happened and why they did it. Well, the reason they did it is because they were jihadists. That's the reason they did it.
Right.
And I think when we were on the ship, we heard a lot of that. There was a lot of folks that were really angry about that piece. Didn't get a lot of coverage back here, how the survivors felt about that, but a lot of them had similar comments about that Globe story as they did about the Rolling Stone cover. They thought it was way too sympathetic towards the terrorists, and I would actually share that opinion. So it is sensitive to many of them, but some of them are... just don't care. They don't want to talk about it. They want to just pretend those two people don't exist.
Mm.
Others want to know every single thing about them. And some of them might be interested, where they might look at something and say, yeah, that's interesting, but, you know, that's not. You know, so it's a mixed bag, I think.
Yeah, personally, I, you know, Dave, I don't know how you feel, but I think the media, at least locally, has done a good job separating that piece of it from what's going on this week and next week. You know, you hear very little, at least recently, of the trial and kind of Sarnia and what's going on with that whole piece. And that's just, I think that's a credit to...
It is.
It's a credit to what a lot of the local reporters have done in terms of kind of pumping up the remembering the victims and kind of the families.
The survivors.
Yep. You know, putting the focus, as we've seen done in the past, on the person that perpetrated the crime.
Yeah, I think so. I think part of that is a function of the timing, where there's just not a lot of information coming out, but I'm sure there are reporters digging for information on the brothers as we speak, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a story come out next week or later this week or next week with some new details. But, you know, I think everyone, especially in Boston, has been very respectful. The thing that happened to Meet the Press is unfortunate. That stuff shouldn't happen. Certainly, Adrian Haslett Davis was not told the truth by someone, and whoever that person was, in my opinion, should be terminated. That's not, you know, you don't make a promise to someone like that that you know you can't keep. And they knew they couldn't keep that promise. They, you know, you can't run a segment, a roundtable about the Boston Marathon without saying the names of the people who did it. You know, that's just illogical. And for them to, I think she was kind of duped, you know, and said, "Oh yeah, don't worry about it. We're not going to talk about them," when they knew that they were, you know.
I have to ask you, while you've been writing this book, have you had any moments where something has caught you by surprise, or that you felt a little bit more in the know that again, not to tip your hand, wait for the book, but anything that, you know, that has either taken you by surprise or you're like, I kind of knew this was what was going on?
Certainly there's, when people know you're writing a book about something, your phone rings, you know?
Yeah.
So I've gotten a lot of calls from a lot of sources and law enforcement folks that I've dealt with over the years that have given me a lot of information, mostly in regards to the brothers and the FBI and what they knew and who knew what when and who did what when and that sort of stuff. So that stuff we're sifting through, and we'll have some of that in there that I think might be new. And but it's hard stuff because you're dealing with the FBI and they won't talk to anyone. They won't confirm or deny anything. So a lot of it is just, it's hard to document what actually happened. And I think it's, not unlike 9/11, not unlike the assassination of JFK. We'll be learning new details about what happened at the Boston Marathon bombing for years to come, if not decades.
What's it been like writing with Casey? This is a guy who, this is what he does. He writes books, and you guys are doing it together. I mean, is this something that you see yourself, once you're done with this project, you're already looking for your next project?
Probably not as much as Casey, because, he's done, this is his seventh book now, and he's a really, really, he's amazing how much of a hard worker he is, and he's been a pleasure to work with. We worked great together, so, we haven't actually discussed that, but I would love to do another book with Casey. I think we're doing a great job on this one. I think people are going to be very happy with the book, the way this comes out, but for me, this is my first one, so I'm really just enjoying this, Kevin. And
soaking it up.
I want to knock it out of the park. I want it to be great, and that's all I'm focused on right now, is just making sure that I do the best job on this that I can.
Does writing this book also give you time? And we have, folks may or may not know this, but you have a young man who just turned 1 year old. Does it give you more time to spend more time with the family?
I did until a few weeks back, but it's been nice, to enjoy some time at home, and the writing process is nice. And I've had a lot of time to just get inside the story, so that's been nice. And obviously, to not be racing around for deadlines with the Herald has made the writing process easier, of course.
Now, are you blogging this? Are you blogging this as you go? Are you and Casey have a joint blog where you're keeping folks up to speed how the process is going?
Well, we have a Twitter feed, and we also have a Facebook page, and it's facebook.com/BostonStrongBook, and they can follow me on Twitter at Dave Wedge, or we have a Twitter feed for the book. It's at BostStrongBook, so it's BostStrong book, Boston without the O-N. And so we're putting out a lot of info on those feeds, and there'll be more as the book is finished, and as it comes out, we'll let people know about store appearances, signings, and things like that, and any media appearances we do.
Yeah, we're
speaking. Of course, WATD.
And of course, WATD. and of course,
I tweeted it out a little while ago.
I definitely appreciate it, my friend. You've been an invaluable source and a person to talk to here on Monday Night Talk, whether it was with myself or with Senator Bob Hedlund. Again, we are speaking with Dave Wedge, who is the co-author of the Boston Strong book, which will hopefully be coming out in stores soon. Anything you want to say in closing in regards to the putting together the book, or this, being the eve of the anniversary of the event that took place, the Boston Marathon?
Well, I just reiterate what I said a minute ago. I spoke at a thing out in Framingham last Sunday with Tom Grillett, the director of the Boston Athletic Association that organized the marathon, and he really kind of put it in that context that I said, where, tomorrow is about remembering, and Monday is about moving forward and showing the world that, nothing's going to stop Boston. The race is going to be a third bigger than ever, 36,000 runners. Normally it's 27,000, so it's a quarter bigger, I guess. So it's 9,000 additional runners. So it's really, it's going to be a huge show of strength for the city. And there's a lot of people running it for the first time. People like Sabrina De La Russo, whose friend Roseanne Sedoya lost her leg. Sabrina was right next to her. She suffered some minor injuries, but she fortunately didn't lose any limbs. Sabrina's running the marathon for her friend Roseanne to raise money for her fund, and she's never been a runner. And it's things like that that are really going to make Monday incredible.
Well, we definitely want to thank you for talking with us on the eve of this this horrific event. I do want to at least take a half a moment, because you are, I know you're a big hockey fan. You may not be a Boston Bruins fan, but you are a hockey fan.
I am.
And I want to give you a moment, because you have been a somewhat of a hockey Nostradamus back in, you know, I don't want to say either last year or the year before. You kind of, you know, were on course as far as how the teams were going to do, whether it was, you know, my Boston Bruins or your Montreal Canadiens.
My memory serves correct, I believe I predicted the Bruins winning the Cup in 11.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure I said I thought they were going to win the Cup.
That's why I said Nostradamus, so, you know.
I actually think they're going to win it again this year. I do. I think they're loaded. I think they're the best team in the league right now. I think Tuukka's the best goalie in the league right now. Him and Jonathan Quick. And, of course, Carey Price from my Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
I think the only team, really, honestly, that could beat them in the Eastern Conference in a seven-game series is the Canadiens.
Yep.
I don't. Maybe Pittsburgh. Maybe the Rangers. Maybe, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting playoffs. But I really think the Bruins got the horses to go all the way. They're just playing awesome.
I think you're accurate in 2 points, and that is if there are two teams that I think personally that could beat the Bruins or derail them from going all the way. Canadians have done well in getting into the Bruins' heads, you know, and you know, having them take stupid penalties and stuff like that. This Montreal team is much different than the past teams, and the team that the Bruins are playing in the first round, the Detroit Red Wings. I would not look past them.
No, that's a good point. I think Detroit is obviously, you know, they're cup tested. They're the best, arguably the best organization in hockey. I think the Bruins are approaching that sort of status right now with the run that they're on. So that's going to be a great series. It's certainly not the draw the Bruins wanted, but that should be a heck of a series. So we'll see. Like I said, I think the Bruins have the horses. I do. I think they're stacked.
Do you think, now, if you look at the Montreal's taking on Tampa Bay, and they've split, I think the regular season series, the Lightning beat them three times. I have to ask you, and that is do you see the Canadiens getting past Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I do. I Tampa Bay's, they're a good team, but I think the Canadiens, they've been playing pretty good down the stretch, too. They have Carey Price, if he's healthy. I hope he is.
Mm.
And I definitely see the Canadiens winning that series. And then I'm not sure, would they play the winner of the Bruins series after that?
Possible.
Yeah, so it's shaping up. I mean, you know, if the Bruins are going to the Cup, it's going to be a series with Montreal in there somewhere. You know?
Yeah.
I hope it is, because it's fun hockey to watch. It's always great theater.
It's great hockey to watch, and I wouldn't think it would be almost like the Red Sox making it to the World Series without playing the Yankees.
Exactly.
You know, you want to at least have that on the resume that, yep, we went through, you know, the team that was our rival, and we were able to succeed.
Yep. No, I agree. I think it's going to be fun. The hockey playoffs are always great to watch, and I just have to say, I was pretty bummed out my BC Eagles lost in the Frozen Four. But
sorry.
Union was a heck of a team. They won the national championship, and no shame in losing to them. That's 2 years in a row that BC has lost to them now in the tournament.
Yeah, but they're still one of the top college, you know, when it comes to hockey, they're one of the top teams in college hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, proud of them. Great season.
Can't hang your head. Well, listen, Dave, I want to thank you so much for joining us, my friend. And we will have you back on in continued success and moving forward with the Boston Strong Book.
Thank you, guys, and to all you listeners out there, I hope they take a moment to reflect tomorrow and watch a little bit of the coverage and, you know, talk to your kids about about what happened and you know, how they feel about it, because kids were involved here, and the kids talk about it, whether or not people want to acknowledge that. You know, my daughter asks questions, and someday I'll have to tell little Jackson about it. I just think it's important for us to all reflect tomorrow.
Excellent. There he is, Dave Wedge, joining us for a few moments. We will step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.